Welcome to a brand new episode of Coffee with the Roach, the Lazy Sidecast. I'm your host, Tommy the Roach Lucero. Today I sit down with Jessica Hudson, good friend and comic here in San Diego. Got to talk to her for a bit before the Lamplighter open mic in Mission Hills, San Diego. If your comic needs some time, hit them up on Monday nights. It's really worth your while. Good time, a lot of fun. Meanwhile, check out this brand new episode, Coffee with the Roach, the Lazy Sidecast. No, I'm not high, because for the past few days, I've been fucking tanked on weed. Like, on 420 particularly, I spent the whole day smoking blunts. It took me looking at my texts to remember who picked me up to go to the show. Because I couldn't even remember how I got to a show that I was doing. But I had been smoking all day, and by the time they were going to come pick me up, I didn't know what time it was. They just messaged me. I'm on my way. I'm like, fuck, I gotta put pants on. So I got up. Got dressed, because I was just sitting there in my boxers in my gaming chair, okay, watching cartoons all day, getting high, as one does on 420, as a 42-year-old man. But then they took me, and when we got to the show, where the fuck was the show?
Maintown?
Bare Roots.
Oh, wasn't that Maintown?
That was the Bare Roots show.
Oh, the Bare Roots. Oh, on 420.
Yeah,
oh,
on 420. And when we got there, I was so freaking baked that I was confused.
You were confused.
And I didn't know how to interact with people. Like, just being around people, man. I was like, fuck, man, how do I do this? This seems so foreign. With that said, welcome to another episode of Coffee with a Roach, the Lazy Sidecast. I'm your host, Tommy the Roach Lucero, with my guest today, the one, the only, the beautifully bifocaled Jessica Hudson.
Bifocal.
Well, I could have sworn I saw a slit in your eyeglass there.
It's probably they're just dirty.
I smoke a lot of pot. So, Jessica.
Hi, Tommy.
I believe.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
Yes, it's fantastic. Like I said, you're one of the few people I feel like I can actually talk to for an extended period of time right now. So I wanted to interview you on the podcast.
I'm honored. Thank you so much. I wish I was high, but...
Okay. This is one of the few where I'm not going to be
as super high. Yeah, we're on the same
level. Yeah, yeah. Very evened out thanks to pizza and Rockstar. So
nice.
It's going good. Now, back to my other statement. I smoke a lot of pot. Mm-hmm. Now, how long have we known each other?
You and I?
Yeah.
Well, we met at, remember at Negotiant Winery? We did the show.
I do remember that. I remember that.
And I brought my mom. She was wearing a pink jacket, and you made fun of her, said it looked like a pink bathrobe. She loved it. She loved the attention.
That's what I do best, give older women all the attention.
She loved it. So yeah, we met there. That was actually a year ago, around this time.
Okay, and then did I have you host something for 420 that year?
You did.
Yeah, that's right.
Host...
Okay. We have found a puzzle piece for my memory.
Sweet Dreams PB. I was in Sweet... On 420, I was at Sweet Dreams PB.
That's right, and you hosted over there. How did that go?
Oh, my God, that was so much fun. I was sober for that event, but I wanted to be on my A game. And, I was out there with the microphone getting people to come in, buy stuff. And
hell yeah.
Blunt rolling contest. We had a few of those.
You didn't quality check the blunts?
No. I didn't. They were passing it. You know me, I have OCD. They were passing it around through the store and everybody was testing out the supply. We were using Delta 8.
Well, yeah. I mean, when I believe that was the same one.
You were in El Cajon.
Yeah. I had to test them and I wasn't getting high off them. The only time I got high was when I had to smoke four of them at the same time. And it just gave me a slight buzz.
Yeah.
Which says I have a problem.
Little head change.
Slightly.
I've never smoked Delta 8, so I don't even know what to
compare. And a slight asthma attack,
oh,
I remember.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh, God.
Okay, the next event coming up! But that was fun, man. That was, was that the first thing you got to host, or no?
That was, like, my first hosting. I thought it... When you told me about it, I thought it was going to be a comedy show. So then I found out when I got there that I was
hosting. It was all kinds of weird.
No, it was cool, though. I made friends with the people that worked there. I was there from Ford Hill, I think almost midnight. I was there pretty late.
Yeah.
And I got paid for the gig, and it was fun. And, yeah, thank you for suggesting me.
You know what? I think you probably went the better route because I got paid. But at the same time, they gave me product. That was all Delta 8 product. Mm-hmm. So I had table or I mean paperweights, mm-hmm. until I got tired of looking at them. Because they did, the Delta 8 stuff did nothing.
Yeah, I mean.
I would smoke it and just get mad.
Yeah.
Which is the opposite effect of what you should have when you smoke pot.
Yeah, you don't want to get frustrated. that sounds like back in high school when we would get high. What's up, hey, guys? What's up?
It's Adam John. It's like getting blue balls off weed.
Yeah, yeah. The weed we used to smoke, it was the Mexican weed. There's no chronic. There
was all brick back
in the
day.
Brick buds. Oh my God, you just brought it back. Brick buds. Everybody had a duty. There was when we had a session, you were the de-stemmer, de-seeder. You changed the bong water. You put the music on. Mm-hmm. And then we had a session.
It's funny you mentioned because it all tasted like duty.
It did.
It was nothing but just shit weed brought over in someone's tire.
Oh my God. And it was brick bud.
When's the last time you smoked weed, just out of curiosity?
Last night. I'm a stoner.
But you're one of those, like the one percenters. You're a responsible one.
Well, yeah, I have anxiety now. So when I get high, I get really paranoid, especially while driving.
For me, that's like the fun part.
No, you know what I do better? You're going to laugh at this. I do better when I'm drinking and driving.
You know, I used to say that for the longest time, and until I flipped a car. Then I was like, I think that might be wrong.
Well, I think you were wasted. I mean, if I have a glass of wine and I wait a little bit, it eases the stress.
Well, bottles of wine are made of glass.
Yes.
So technically, that is a glass of wine.
I used to drink a bottle of wine a night and not be hungover the next day.
Oof.
Yeah. Oh, that's brutal. Brutal. Oh. Now it's 1 to 2 glasses a night and vaping it, hitting it off the pipe, eating it. So I'm doing all of it, but at home.
I used to do the same thing, but with cocaine. So I'm very happy that we're at the point in my life where we are now.
I'm glad, yeah, that you're still here with us.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I really am.
Just eating up my insides like a Pac-Man. Just the 8-ball is a Pac-Man. It was bad. It's not good. You have always mentioned that you started doing comedy on the Zoom shows.
I did.
What was your initial reaction to doing comedy on Zoom shows?
Nerve-wracking, because I'd never tried stand-up before.
So your whole introduction to doing stand-up was just Zoom shows?
I couldn't imagine going on an open mic without that little bit of dipping my toe in the pool, testing it out. It's now I'm a snob. I don't even want to do Zoom comedy. There's still one that I do once a week.
Yeah, it's good.
And we do it we call it Midnight Movies. We do it midnight, and it's people from all over, and we have kept it going. I'd rather much be on stage now, in person, doing live comedy, because I used to hear comedians, oh, that's not real comedy, Zoom comedy, it's not real comedy, but that's all you had at the time, and for me, it was a great little warm-up to get into stand-up, so I'm thankful it happened.
What? Vibrates.
Oh, sorry.
I've been doing it, I just remember.
Do you like vibrating?
It depends on the girl. Other than that, though.
So yeah, Zoom was a great way
and that
to
was
get into it.
Like 2020, 2021.
That was late 2020, early 2021. So I've been doing it for 2 years and a year and a half live.
How many did you have going throughout the first when you really started going on the Zoom shows? How many were you doing per week?
Oh my God, I was doing it every night.
Yeah. Just one?
Yep. Once a night. And I also auditioned for America's Got Talent on Zoom.
There was a lot of weird shit to do on Zoom.
Yeah.
That's how I was working on my memorization for all that, for anything, because there wasn't mics. Mm. So I would do it just to memorize stuff that I thought was still funny. I was doing an open mic that was a Zoom from the South. And people that would go up would say some of the most blatantly racist, homophobic stuff. And when it would be my turn, I would feel bad because all I had was abortion jokes. And I felt like, oh man, if this is where it's going. But then everything opened back up and I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'm glad I was writing all that time because this shit actually is kind of funny, even though I'm not dropping N-bombs like a Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
It's very, very gratifying to find that out later. Like, when you hit the stage finally, when you actually got the chance to do actual stage time, what was like the ratio of the stuff that you wrote that you found worked better on Zoom as opposed to like in front of actual people?
Well, I was doing the same material. I took a few classes also online before I started doing Zoom comedy. I took Zoom classes three or four different times. So I had written my first tight five, which I don't even do anymore because it wasn't as tight as I thought it was. Mm. When I started doing it live, I wasn't getting the laugh. So then I just went back to writing and kind of evolved from there. But everything I wrote on Zoom, I feel like, or while I was doing Zoom, I feel like it was good in that moment and it worked because I don't remember getting super discouraged. I remember getting more pumped up. Like, I watch my stuff from 2 years ago that I recorded in my room, and oh my God, I sucked. And I probably suck now still.
Dude, I watch audition tapes for stuff that I do, and I feel the exact same way.
Oh my God, I'm like, how? This is brutal.
But you'd be surprised, man. Like, some of that stuff that I'll audition for, I'll send it in, mm-hmm. and you... They actually think it's a lot better than you would anticipate.
Yeah.
But it's good to have that immediate feedback mm-hmm. when you go in front of an actual crowd.
It is.
As opposed to the delay of your Wi-Fi with the Zoom.
The Zoom people don't have the volume on. They don't have their camera on. So
you have kids crying in the background.
Yeah, you don't have the... You can't gauge it. It's just... It's... Now, after doing live, it's like, oh my God, this is brutal being on here trying to do jokes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Are you, what's changed as far as like doing your material in front of people as opposed to just by yourself?
Oh, definitely confidence.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I was so nervous even on Zoom. I was so nervous. And you're not even around anybody. You're just staring into a screen. People just see your
face.
That
was fucking...
So weird.
Nerve. It gave me anxiety.
Yeah.
And like the first time... I didn't do anything for quite a while because I was like, where the fuck do I go? I didn't want to try and do Zoom. And then finally, I was like, I'll give it a shot. And I had an anxiety attack by myself in a room because I was looking at the phone screen and the dude's not paying attention and you have no one to look at. I got used to like looking at people and trying to connect with people and like trying to talk and work out material. But there was no... way at all to do that. That made me start drinking again, I think.
Yeah, because you started getting anxiety. You're like, I need
to do something.
See, I would get high on Zoom. I would do I've never done comedy high on a stage in front of an audience because I'm just terrified that I'll forget or I just don't know how it'll go. I should try it just once, but I don't want to also get in the habit of if I do well, I'm going to be stoned every time.
Yeah.
I want to be sober. I want to be on my A game. I'm treating it like, you know, hopefully a profession one day, but that's a long haul. It's a long road.
Yeah, it's very tiring.
It is. So I've done it with a glass of wine, but I haven't been super drunk either. So I try to be as sober as possible when I'm on stage, and then after I do my set, I can
My experience would say that I would tell you to try everything once on stage.
And see how it goes.
Because somewhere on the internet, on the YouTubes, there's me under the influence of most things. At least one set buried on the YouTube somewhere.
Okay.
So.
Check it out.
If nothing else, you'll learn, well, then I shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Because, but at the same time, if you do well, as long as you keep the level head about it, you know, it's a... helps you with getting rid of the fucking little jitters and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And it can be helpful, but you don't want to
look at you're crutch. You're a bad influence.
I am.
Hi, how are you?
What's up, Babic? How you doing, buddy? Good, man. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Is there
a list? Find out a little more about her. You're not just a comic, right? You do other shit. Like you have an actual job, unlike most comics.
I know. I want to be one of those comics that can just focus on comedy. But no, I do have a daytime job, a full-time job. I work with criminals.
So it's kind of like being an open mic.
I work at the public defender's office. So our clients are in prison.
You're the person that comes in when they say, I want a lawyer.
Yeah, we defend who can't afford a lawyer. Yes, exactly. If you can't afford a private attorney, one is appointed to you.
Yes.
Your Sixth Amendment right. So, yeah, that's what I do. But one day, hopefully, it's comedy only, you know, but that don't pay the bills.
Well, all the more reason I am happy to know you, because I'm sure I will need representation at some point in my life, whether it be
I hope public, not, Tommy.
Public provided or otherwise.
Okay.
So I hope not either, but, you know, I think this is made of wood.
Yes. Yes. Knock on wood, please. Yeah. You're not doing anything illegal anyway, so you're...
Yeah, I'm pretty much on the up and up now.
Yeah.
Haven't stolen anything from a car in a long time. Haven't tried to solicit social security numbers.
Okay.
The human trafficking's all but falled off.
But, yeah. Well, Aaron, that's so saturated.
Yeah, too. Yeah. It's just, I call that dating, is what they call it.
Oh my gosh.
How long was your very first set in front of people?
8 minutes.
8 minutes? What was that like?
It was nervous. I thought I was going to have a panic attack.
For the entire 8 minutes? How much actual...
No, it's been the same. It's always up until I get on stage. Once I get on stage, then the nerves go away. And I'm in the moment.
Yeah.
It's prior to that where I'm freaking out. Like, am I going to be able to do this?
That makes sense. I usually get really, really tired the day of. And then when I get there, for some reason, I just wake up.
Yeah.
Like, I probably won't need this rock star once the actual shit gets going.
Yeah.
But I'll be happy I did, because I'll be a little sweaty and I'll look very excited.
That's another thing. Palms, sweaty palms for me. But that's gotten less and less. It's true. The more you get on stage, the easier it is. But there's always those nerves. Like, last week I did an open mic at Comedy Store and I was super nervous, like I'd never done it before. It was 3 minutes.
Whenever I go to a new town, that's what that's like.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the place is, what the crowd is like, I'll get fucking real nervous. But when you get up there, it's like,
yeah,
all that energy, it just transfers into what you're doing.
It does.
And it comes out. Can be a really good way. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it comes out as a big flaming turd. But either way, it's good experience and it's fun to get up there and work out your shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless it's a show you're getting paid for, then you want to do good.
Oh, well, yeah. You want to do really well.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a good relationship with your family? Do they support the comedy?
I do. I'm very close with my mom and my dad, and they do support the comedy, you know?
Have they been to any shows yet?
My mom's been to a couple, the one you hosted and a few others. My dad has never seen me do stand-up. He lives in Pennsylvania. But I come from a blue-collar family. Like, very... my dad did drywall construction. He didn't graduate high school. My mom came from Ensenada, Mexico. She didn't even... I don't think she graduated elementary school. She was raised by Catholic nuns, and she wanted something better. An American man to start a family with, and that's what she found. So my parents, when I say blue collar, my parents never stressed on me, you need to get a good education. My dad was just like, graduate high school. That was the bar back then. That was 1998. He's like, just please graduate high school. Because he never did that. So that was a huge thing for him. So I did graduate high school, and then I just got jobs and I just worked. So when I did...
Did you have to pass the bar?
No, I'm not an attorney.
No, you can, you're just...
I just look like one. And I did pass the bar on the way here, because parking's a bitch.
I always thought guidance counselor, but yeah, I guess a lawyer too.
Yeah, guidance counselor. I need guidance. I need a...
So do most guidance counselors.
Counsel myself.
I would always have to go to my guidance counselor, and they'd end up telling me their fucking problems. They always have way more problems than
yeah,
me.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like therapists. They're probably the most fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're definitely the most fucked up. They hear all that shit.
Hear it all.
And then... go home and like chokesturbate. Yep. I'm sure it's very, very trying and taxing.
Yep.
What's something you really want to accomplish as far as the next 2024? By the end of 2024, what's something you hope you've accomplished, at least just with comedy?
Of course it's going to be comedy related.
No, not the fucking lawyer shit.
No. Even though that's the one that's paying me. I have two goals that I would want to do, and don't laugh, but I want to compile all the material I have and write a 1-hour special.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, my big goal for stage time is I wish I could perform at the Comedy Cellar in New York.
Dude, that'd be dope.
That's one of my main goals, to walk down those stairs and just be... there with that audience that's like right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my I've told comedians that, and they I love your response, but they're like, that's never going to happen. That's so hard. You have to know people. It's very discouraging. And I feel like if you want it bad enough, you can get it.
Bro, I've already done all the rooms at the Comedy Store in L.A. Anything's possible. You just got to try and you just got to ask.
Yeah.
It's like, I got to fucking open for my friends in La Jolla.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's like random shit like that. You just have to ask and you have to...
Yeah.
Fucking keep on working at it, and you eventually accomplish it. The whole manifesting thing, as white girl as it might sound, it actually works. You just gotta stay positive and keep working towards it.
Yeah.
And with that, we had our nice little conversation with Jessica. I'm gonna go find a piece of paper to make the list for the open mic tonight here at the Lamplighter. Once again, Jessica Hudson, check her out on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Friendster. I think she might have a couple ads on the Craigslist for random shit. But other than that, make sure and check her out wherever you might see her name on a marquee. You'll be very happy you did. She's one of my favorite comics up right now. And a really great writer. And that's saying something, because I'm a fucking genius.
Yeah, you are.
Tommy Lucero. Tommy the Roach Lucero. Coffee with a Roach, the Lazy Sodcast. Is there anything you want to leave us on, Jessica?
No, I just want to say thank you to Tommy. I'm glad we met. I think you're one of the good eggs out there. It's a tough business. It really is. And you need those people that are going to lift you up and really encourage you. And I just appreciate you having me on tonight. And I can't wait for the open mic. Thank you.
Likewise. Check out Jessica Hudson wherever comedy is purveyed. Tommy Lucero, over and out. Stay stoned out there, you guys. Whatever. And this has been another fun-filled episode of Coffee with a Roach, the Lazy Sidecast. This episode's guest was Jessica Hudson. That's Jessica, H-U-D-S-O-N, Hudson. Check her out on the social medias and all comedy shows in San Diego. She's pretty much on all of them. You'll be happy you saw her after you do. Otherwise, when you're not doing that, check out 40 Ounce of Funny Comedy Shows every month at El Cajon's Main Tap Tavern. Unless there is a world-ending event, we will be there. Check out all the road shows coming up on the Instagram, Tommy the Roach. That's one word. That's where I post most of the stuff about upcoming shows. Either there or 40 Ounce of Funny Comedy pop-up shows when they're my own personally produced shows, which I'll have more of those coming up over the next couple of months. Got some more runs planned. It's going to be fun. We got the summer coming. It's about to get hot and heavy with all the dirty jokes. So until then, I'll talk to you later, and make sure and keep one lit for me. I'll be right there.